welcome your ears to Leander Beer Market on 106 West Willis Street in Leander for episode number 314 of the Triple Option with RBKD. On the horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, Texas and Oklahoma say goodbye. Deshaun Watson says hello, and we set the stage for the 2021 edition of the Horn's Top 20 Countdown. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He's also the inventor of the Corona Kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how are we doing today?
Doing great, man. I want to thank the good folks at the Leander Beer Market for having us. It's a nice spot.
It is.
The fans, too, with the little I got some precipitation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I like that.
The fan mister combo is one of the greatest inventions
of
the last 100 years.
I love it.
It is nice. Also joined by a lifetime Longhorn and lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. He knows where your IT guy's IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. Katie, what's going on?
Doing well. Love being out here. The first house I lived in was in Leander.
Really?
And yeah.
Nice.
Back when Leander felt really far out. And just feels like part of Austin. Now, this is a cool spot right here. I like this.
Absolutely.
And I love the parking. God, I miss that.
Just having parking?
Free parking.
You see, I looked around. I thought I was like, that's no way this is free. So I rode around looking for signs of what I got to pay. It's like, no, it's just parking.
Just on the street.
It's so nice.
You pay taxes.
God bless.
Here you go.
It's
God
beautiful.
Bless.
Yeah, I mean, we're like right in the heart of Leander, and you can park on the street for free.
Yeah.
Easy to find parking, and you don't have to pay for parking. I got out of my car, I was like looking around for a meter or a sign that says, hey, man, you can't park here. Or if you do, you got to pay an arm and a leg. But it's nothing. It's that easy. So come out and see us. We'll be here for a long, long time. Of course, our show will be broadcasting live from 3 to 7, but then right after we get off the air at 7 o'clock, our roundtable for the Horn Top 20 Countdown will take over on Twitch and on Facebook Live. So some of the other guys from the other shows will join us out here at Leander Beer Market, and we'll begin our discussion as we try to put together our top 20 for the college football year in 2021. So you got plenty of time to come see us. Happy hour going on from 3 to 6 at Leander Beer Market. And we are here thanks to our friends at the Altstadt Brewery. So Altstadt beer specials for the next 3 hours and some great deals on all beers and food as well. So come see us, Leander Beer Market, 106 West Willis Street in Leander, Texas. Fellas, it's official. The first step toward Texas leaving the Big 12 and joining the SEC came down this morning as Texas and Oklahoma released a joint statement saying that they will not be renewing their grants of media rights following the expiration in 2025. Of course, we had the initial report saying that this might happen last Wednesday, and now it's official. No more rumor, no more speculation. KD, it is happening. Texas and Oklahoma will be leaving the Big 12.
Still can't believe it's happening, but it is. We kind of knew that late last week, and then over the weekend that they had the last-ditch effort to try and give them 1.5 shares, both those schools, just try and entice them, but too little, too late, and just kind of let the comments fly from that point on. We're hearing comments from all different types of fan bases. There are definitely hurt feelings, but at the end of the day, you got to do what's right for your future, and I think Texas and Oklahoma are doing that. We'll see when all this happens too, Rod, because I think the biggest question right now is not if it's going to happen, but when do they make that move? And they had to today, for legal reasons, act like this thing's going to go on until 2025. Yeah. I'd be shocked if they're playing Big 12 football in 2024.
Yeah, and it may have less to do with Texas and Oklahoma and more to do with the other remaining members of the Big 12, right, the member schools. If they ultimately decide, all right, we have to act in our own self-interest at this point, Texas and Oklahoma are out, we can't worry about the Big 12. We have to go pursue, you know, alliances with the Pac-12 or the Big 10 or the ACC, depending on your situation. And if that happens and enough schools do that, I mean, essentially that grant of rights deal is null and void because the Big 12 in itself would dissolve.
Yeah.
It wouldn't exist. There would be nobody to litigate that, to fight for that, because the Big 12 wouldn't exist as we know it. So I think that is also why I'm not sure if Texas and Oklahoma can do anything about it, but I bet they're hoping that their former, you know, member schools in the Big 12 are, in fact, looking out for their own self-interest and are pursuing it, you know, vehemently and, you know, with expedience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a rough week for the Big 12, gentlemen. I mean, obviously, this news is disastrous for the future of the conference, but they've got even more egg on their face after the call that they had last night. Apparently, there was a call between the higher-ups at the Big 12 and officials at Texas and Oklahoma. And then Bob Boolsby released a statement last night basically saying that the call was cordial and we expect to continue to have conversations in the days ahead. Well, Rod, that did not come to fruition. I mean, it took like less than 12 hours after we got the statement from Bob Boolsby for Texas and Oklahoma to come out and say, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're leaving. Sorry about those future conversations. We are actually headed out. And I think now the question is, and we kind of talked about this on Friday, right? It felt like on Friday this was a matter of when, not a matter of if. Well, now officially it's a matter of when and not if. Are you with KD? I mean, do we feel like – I mean, there are people who think this could be the last year of Big 12 sports.
Could be.
Right? It's going to go through the academic year, so it's not just football season we're talking about. But this could be the 2021-2022 academic year. It could be the final year for Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12. Do you kind of lean that way? You mentioned it depends on the other schools, but with what you've heard and what seems to be coming to fruition very quickly before our eyes, do you think this could be the final year for Texas in the Big 12?
Yeah, I think Matt Hayes had a great tweet about it, and I think it was Saturday Down Sports, right, that SEC website. Anyway, they brought the fact that with A&M and also with Missouri, both of those schools were invited in fall of 2011, and they were playing football in the SEC by 2012.
Yeah.
And it's not the exact same thing, right? It's not apples to oranges, but oftentimes there's so much angst, there's so much animosity that exists when teams decide to emancipate themselves from these conferences and these situations, so much bad blood. You don't want to sit in an awkward situation for 2, 3, 4 years. Most of the time, the powers that be and the lawyers are willing to sever ties as quickly as possible, and usually there's money that will be paid of some kind, right? So there will be some tax that they'll have to pay as a result of it. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure Oklahoma and Texas are willing to do that. The number that's been thrown out there is $70 million each, potentially, that they would have to pay in some type of penalty if they break this contract. I'm sure Texas and Oklahoma will be more than willing to pay that. Hell, the SEC probably would be more than willing to help them out.
Now, that'd be funny if A&M had to chip in on that, which they would.
That would be irony. It'd be ironic. It would be, yeah.
That would be hilarious.
That would just be funny.
I saw a tweet. I think it was a misprint, but a tweet sent out by a prominent college football analyst last week that said the buyout was $70 for Texas and Oklahoma to leave.
I think he meant
12.
$70 million.
Yeah, I think he meant $70 million.
It wasn't Brian Williams, was it?
No, it wasn't Brian Williams. I saw $70, and I thought that was the funniest thing in the world. I was like, well,
awesome.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and send the Venmo right now. I'll take care of that myself. I can afford $70. $70 million might be a different story. KD, I heard Chad and Trey talking about this, and it's been interesting to get Chad's perspective on all of this. But apparently there's a meeting in College Station at 5 o'clock this afternoon with the Board of Regents trying to figure out what direction they're going to go. And, God, the belief is this could come official at some point this week, right? I mean, the news we got today is that Texas and Oklahoma are leaving the Big 12. As of now, we don't have anything confirming that they are going to the SEC, but the writing appears on the wall, and considering how quickly this all has unfolded, it feels like we could have a vote and an official announcement at some point in the next couple of days.
I'd be surprised if we're doing the show on Thursday and that's not the case, and it'll probably be done before then. I think once the cat's out of the bag, at that point, you move forward. And if you're the SEC, what you don't want is have this drag on in Texas and Oklahoma, but specifically Texas have nothing but suitors in the ACC or the Big Ten. They start trying to give the best deal possible. You want this thing to go through. I think it will. And, yeah, I think it's going to be quick.
You think there's any chance that happens, Rod, where, like, the other conferences are reaching out to Texas and Oklahoma, or a waste of time?
Yes, it's a waste of time, mm-hmm. because it's more than just the money, right? The situation with the Big 12, or at least the report from Dennis Dodd, that they offered them 1.5 shares of the Big 12, which was, you know, similar to the remedy that they kind of duct-taped the Big 12 together with not too long ago when they did that with Texas, Oklahoma, and A&M. But it's also about the future landscape of college sports as we know it, which is changing rapidly. And the truth is, nobody's really smart enough to know what the hell, you know, the future of college football holds. We know that name, image, and likeness is going to change everything forever. Once you rebuild college football, the new form of amateurism, post-name, image, and likeness, what is it going to look like? Also, the playoff expansion, as KD has mentioned several times, he's right, and he hates it. But once you expand, you're going to keep on expanding.
Yep.
Right? So you're going to have that as something you got to worry about. And then the NCAA, who's going to be the new authority in college sports? Because we know it's not the NCAA. The Supreme Court is kicking them, basically calling them a borderline criminal syndicate. They punted on name, image, and likeness. They relinquished their authority on COVID. They didn't want to deal with those really, really complex issues. So now they're a defunct organization. And there are a lot of people believing that, you know, major college football, at least not major college sports, because that would be a little bit tougher, but major college football could decide, no, we're done with the NCAA. We're doing our own thing.
Yep.
And what's major college football? 60-something teams?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And that's what's starting to happen.
Honestly, not you even. Don't even need all of those teams.
I don't know if it's going to be that many. We'll see.
Hell, major college football over the last decade has felt like 3.5 teams.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, unfortunately.
That's a good point.
Texas obviously hoping they could change that trend. So are we now, you know, we're all Texas fans. We're all Texas grads. We all played football at the University of Texas.
No, he did.
Well, intramurals count.
How many championships you
Quidditch.
Won?
Quidditch.
I won one championship. Oh, son of a gun.
Two? Nice.
We were loaded. We had five guys on my team that won state championships.
Oh, mine was like a bunch of Jewish guys. That's way more impressive what we did. You know?
Just saying.
Way more impressive what we did
it's
at Whitaker.
It's the Big 12.
You know, if you're a Texas fan, do you want this to happen quicker, KD? Like, do you want the other eight member institutions of the Big 12 to be able to find homes relatively quickly so you can make this move to the SEC ASAP instead of having to wait 2, 3, 4 years for this to go down?
Yeah, definitely 3 or 4 years. I mean, if you have to wait 2, maybe, but this is not – look, teams in these fan bases already disrespected and hated Texas, so that's not going to get any better. And at that point, that's essentially why A&M and Missouri made the move. It just was not going to go in the right direction. It's weird finishing that off. It's the equivalent, Rod, you've brought this up before, Paul did on EGAT, that it's still living together even though you're getting a divorce, yet the hot chick's out in the pool house. Like it's obviously going to set up to be a weird, bad environment. So, yeah, I think they all want to move and get it going.
Yeah, there's an SEC athletic director, Anonymous, who said he expects Texas to play the SEC in 2022.
Mm.
So he said it doesn't do anyone any good for them to be in the conference and committed to another beyond that 1 year. So I think the expectations are this is the last year Texas plays in the Big 12. The expectations are this is the last year that the Big 12 exists.
Yeah.
The Big 12, once teams decide that they are looking out for their own self-interest and they start pursuing other opportunities, greener pastures, that the Big 12 will implode. Collapse on itself like a dying star.
Well, hey, we've got eight teams in the Big 12 right now, fellas. You like the Big Eight?
Yeah.
You know, that would be a term for a conference, hypothetically. I don't think that's ever happened before.
You are literally going backwards. Like, the Big 12 is the only Power 5 conference literally going backwards.
Yeah.
The Iowa State AD a couple years ago was quoted as saying, without Texas and Oklahoma in the room, we're the Mountain West Conference.
Mm.
I think they understand. And that's where, getting back to Rod's point, it'd make it easier if the whole thing disbands, and certainly make it easier for Texas and Oklahoma, probably legally, and what the payoff's going to be or payout's going to be to actually make that move. Because I do think you're going to see Oklahoma State, Texas Tech in the Pac-12. I think Kansas and maybe even Iowa State in the Big Ten. I could see West Virginia in the ACC. We'll see what happens to TCU.
Yeah.
My order would be TCU, Baylor, and Kansas State. Ooh. I don't know who wants Kansas State.
You got Baylor ahead of Kansas State.
Yeah, I look.
Well, they just won a
They did. And they've got their
title.
Own issues to deal with. But,
yeah,
but they're also in the
moves.
State of Texas. Would you rather be the fourth or fifth school in the state of Texas or the second one in Kansas?
Yeah. Fourth or fifth school in the state of Texas. I don't know if Baylor's that high.
All right. Well, yeah, they may not be. But I mean, obviously, you got Texas.
It depends
Texas
on what
A&M,
they value, right?
What
they value in market. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, Waco doesn't bring much. Do they want athletic?
They
can
say it splits Austin
prowess
Dallas,
for the athletic department. Yes, all those things. So we don't know what the Big Ten is going to value, what the Pac-12 is going to value, what the ACC. Somebody is going to try to get the rest of the Texas market. The SEC now has basically a monopoly share of the talent and the football, really kind of the football talent. I think they're going to get all the blue chip recruits in the state too. That's a different discussion. But also they own the markets. I mean, A&M and Texas, that's your big markets. That's San Antonio, that's Houston, that's Dallas, that's Austin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So other than that, you can try to get the, I don't know, the rural areas.
Sure.
But that's tougher to do.
Yeah, conference officials from all of the other leagues are going to drive through Waco one time and realize, nah, we don't want this. All the construction on 35, we don't want to mess with this. We don't want any part of this city.
Take them to Hell's Shack.
It's not happening. But, yeah, it is going to be bizarre how this all unfolds. And the Big 12 earlier today released a statement, and I think it's pretty hilarious, guys, because I agree with you all 100%. I mean, I feel like this conference is disbanding, but the Big 12 released a statement basically saying that the remaining eight institutions are going to work together to try to find a way to keep the Big 12 around and position it for continued success, both athletically and academically, long into the future. That was some of the exact verbiage from Bob Bowlsby in his statement earlier today. It's like, does anyone believe this?
No.
Like, did anyone believe the statement he released yesterday about Texas and Oklahoma still having conversations with the Big 12 about joining or staying in the conference? And now he's saying that the other eight teams are, yeah, they're all cordial. They're all in lockstep. And everyone's good here. We all are committed to keeping the Big 12 around. Like, there's just no way that this thing goes down.
Well, just using the word cordial lets you know in a relationship that you expected more animosity and maybe more immaturity or yelling, whatever that's going to be. And no, we were able to talk on the phone. All right. Like, if you're dating a chick right now and I go, oh, you guys are having problems. How'd that go? And you go, it was cordial.
Mm.
I wouldn't think that you guys have made up yet.
Right. Yeah, cordial feels like a breakup kind of term.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't see any appeal rod of sticking it with the Big 12. I mean, this thing has been carried by Texas and Oklahoma for decades now. You're losing your two biggest dogs. The conference has already been on thin ice over the last few years. Now it just doesn't seem like any appeal, and it feels like it's an arms race now. Just make sure you find a home before what feels like the inevitable happens to where we get to this 4-16-team super conference bit. Make sure you're in on one of those. Otherwise, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah, I mean, the Big 12 is a sinking ship. Basically, Texas and Oklahoma got tired of dancing in that burning room. They, decided to link up with a more stable situation. I think most other schools, even though they're not going to say it openly, they're doing the same thing right now. They may be scrambling to do it, but I think Kansas, because of Kansas basketball, as you mentioned, I think Oklahoma State, because I think they kind of have a well-rounded, sports athletic profile, if you will, so they could do it. You talked about how West Virginia fits with the ACC just because regionally it may work with them. They may get more partners there. I think Pac-12 may decide, like you said earlier last week, hey, let's try to get the rest of the Texas market as much as we can. So let's bring in Tech, Baylor, TCU. We'll take any leftovers in the state just to have a connection to it.
Yeah.
For the time slot to get to that central time zone, but also for the talent pool, the fertile, rich recruiting ground that is Texas.
Well, you start Austin, and if you head east, the SEC has all that. So they could say, we're gonna hit that I-35 corridor, and we're going to work our way west.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that.
Does it bother you guys at all how much flak Texas is taking for this? Like, it kind of feels like Oklahoma's being left off the hook in terms of public perception. Like, this is 100% a Texas move, and nah, let's not blame Oklahoma because they're just along for the ride. Does that bother you? I've seen some Texas fans on Twitter kind of voice their disagreements with that. It's like, why is all this hate and disdain coming towards us? What's going on? Like, they're a part of this thing, too. Does that bother you guys at all?
I don't think it's fair, but it didn't surprise me. I guess I just expected it so much that I would have been surprised if that hadn't been the case. And this is a great example of just be careful, especially as we've said, if you're sucking on a teat and still hitting below the belt as you're doing that. Don't be surprised when people make decisions based on their own interests.
That is a weird expression to hear
it
in
is.
Public.
It is. I know.
I like that one at the studio way better.
Yeah, but I do too. I put my head down when I said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you try to blame it on somebody else. I should have done the same thing. Kind of a game of nose goes.
Right.
I didn't say it. How about this, guys? Big news out of the Pac-12. Well, we've got a bunch of realignment stuff breaking with the Big 12 and the SEC. The Pac-12 decided today that it was a good time to announce that they are partnering with Campbell's Snacks. So that's what's going on with the Pac-12 right now. So Big 12 and SEC realignment is happening. And Pac-12
Campbell's Snacks
wants to
soup?
Let you to know that they are partnering with Campbell's Snacks.
Is it the soup?
So it's not soup. It's snacks instead of the soup?
Yeah, apparently.
Is it the same company?
The Goldfish Crackers.
Oh, I love Goldfish.
Snyder's of Hanover Pretzels. You ever had those little pretzel pieces?
No, but.
Oh, dude, those things are unreal.
Those are the ones I was stealing from your desk, Derek? The pretzel, the flavored pretzel. I'm trying to think of what he's talking about. Okay, they're good though.
No, they're fantastic. Don't ever look at the nutrition facts on the back, because then
I don't.
You'll never.
BK never does.
You'll never eat them again. Yeah. Someone told me about those once, and it hurts. If I'm not eating it, that's a problem.
That says a lot.
Kettle Brand chips.
Oh, those are good chips.
I know you're a fan of those.
Those are quality
cod
chips.
Potato chips. Pepperidge Farm. Apparently, that's all Campbell's snacks.
Okay. So the cookies then.
There's your conference realignment for the Pac-12. They have not announced they are adding Oklahoma State or Texas Tech. They have announced they are adding Campbell. Snacks. So that's the innovation that we're getting from the Pac-12 conference. But man, it will be wild to see how this thing shakes out. Have y'all thought any more about the division versus pod thing for the future of the SEC, assuming at this point that Texas and Oklahoma are involved? I mean, do you guys, I think we all agree that Texas and Oklahoma should play every year.
Yep.
I think we all agree that Texas and Texas A&M should play every
year.
That's
all I really have a passionate opinion about.
Okay, so is there even, forget the pod division
discussion. What about Texas
and
Arkansas?
I was going to say, is there like a third team that like feels like it should happen to where Texas plays them every year, or is it kind of priority 1 and 2, or 1 and 1A, or Oklahoma and A&M, and then everybody else is kind of whatever?
I think that is your order, but Rod, I mean, for me, Arkansas would be right there. Arkansas makes sense for all four of those teams to play the other three every single year, going back to the Southwest Conference and really the heyday of that.
No, I agree. You can, kind of get the old school rival thing going. I mean, I like that, but I think Oklahoma and A&M have to be the priority. Then after that, if you can work it into the schedule as an every year annual thing, go ahead.
Yeah.
Whether it's a pod or just a traditional schedule with divisions.
One of the things, as just someone who loves sports and loves the history of it, I have laughed at how inauthentic some of the rivalries that have been forced, whether it's A&M or South Carolina, or how about Maryland and Michigan or Minnesota playing tonight? Okay. Now, Maryland Duke on the basketball court brings back memories. Not that. You're just trying to force something, and it's not real. It's not organic. That would not be a problem with this transition. In fact, it would get a hell of a lot more real with those four schools and the history they have.
Why'd you hit me, man?
I'm sorry.
That hurt.
Yeah, I know.
There was no need for that.
Well,
you got video evidence, too. I could sue you for assault.
You won an IN championship. I thought you were toughened up.
That was a few years ago.
You're going to the SEC, man. It's time to
talk about
it. Oh,
I've got to
toughen up.
Yeah.
All right, I got to get a shirt that says SEC across the chest, too.
Don't do that.
That's how it goes. Unreal. It was the big story last week. It'll be the big story today and maybe throughout the week. But the first official step towards Texas leaving the Big 12 and joining the SEC came down this morning. Texas and Oklahoma released a joint statement saying that they're not going to be renewing their grants of media rights following the expiration of the current deal in 2025. But the strong belief across the college football landscape is that it won't last that long. That Texas and Oklahoma will be out of the Big 12 and in the SEC sometime before then. We're waiting to hear next from the SEC if we get an announcement this week or sometime soon about Texas and Oklahoma officially joining their conference. Crazy stuff. The Specs text line 337-3776 if you want to chime in, or you can get out and see us. We're here at Leander Beer Markets. We'll be here for a long time. Our show goes on until 7 o'clock, but of course, we've got our Horn Top 20 Roundtable after that, so we're going to be out here until 8:30 or 9 this evening. You've got plenty of time to come out and see us at the Leander Beer Market. Plenty of beer specials throughout the day. Happy hour going on until 6 o'clock. This is the place to be. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. Man, if that news wasn't crazy enough, we've got a wild update on the Aaron Rodgers situation. If you're a Packers fan, I think you're going to be happy with this news. Plus, an update on the Deshaun Watson situation from over the weekend. We'll give you the details on both of those stories up next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. We are looking live from the Leander Beer Market, 106 West Willis Street in Leander, Texas.
What you talking about, Willis?
How long you been waiting to work that one in there?
Actually, like 3 seconds. I just came up with that one on the spot, believe it or not.
Just came up with that on the spot.
Have you ever seen that show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Different strokes.
For different folks.
Yeah, great theme song.
Well, all the great theme songs are back then. Now,
but that is one.
That is one of the good theme songs, yeah.
The world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
Continue.
Right for some, or it might right be right. When is it?
Okay, see? We just gave you the floor, and then boom.
I know, I forgot.
Talk about how great it is. A great song.
It is
just
a great
butchered
theme.
It.
Well, I haven't seen it in 25 years. they used to run.
They used to
play reruns in Chicago. But
yeah,
I was like, they stopped playing it in Austin right away.
I would say it's not one of those shows that made it into heavy syndication where I live. Like, you didn't see
it
a lot of them.
Not
yeah.
in Austin either. It was an up north thing.
Maybe it's
when I was in Chicago in the summer, I'd get all my different strokes in.
Yeah, I'll bet you did.
I was 11, you sickos.
Hey, everyone starts at a different age, man.
All right. If you're in the neighborhood, come out and visit us at the Leander Beer Market. Having a good time out here. Also, we'll get back to the conversation. Of course, big news of the day. Texas and Oklahoma did alert the Big 12 that they would not renew the grant of rights deal, which is up after 2025. So that opens the door for them to be invited officially to the SEC. That news has not broke, but everybody believes that's a foregone conclusion. They'll be invited formally to the SEC. If there is any opposition, it'll be the Aggies, 13-1 vote. But I doubt that. I think it'll be a unanimous vote at this point, considering the president's statement this past weekend.
Yeah, and for 72 hours, the Aggies embarrassed a lot of their fan base.
Stages of grief.
They did.
But denial, anger.
We've all been in grief.
Depression.
But it can be embarrassing. We've been embarrassed with Texas stuff before. It is what it
is,
right? You got to be able to own it, and a lot of the Aggies I've talked to have. So my guess is they're going to vote yes. And I guess the point of that is save some face, make those 72 hours, just try and disappear where no one's talking about it. When you look back on this thing and just say, hey, welcome to the Big 12 or welcome to the SEC, you better be ready.
Yep.
That's what I'd say.
Yep, no doubt.
You better be better than you have been the last 10 years.
We all agree with that.
Yeah, if you vote against this thing and then Texas comes in and starts beating you year in and year out, that's going to look really, really bad.
Right.
It's going to be embarrassing.
I get why they're against it too, but publicly you want to make sure at this point just I'd vote yes and say, no, we're not going to oppose it. Unless you've got other votes you know you can get, but they're not getting those.
Yeah, they're not getting those votes. They don't have enough political clout.
No.
And they don't have enough, cachet within the conference. If Alabama wanted to oppose it.
That's a different story.
It might happen. Alabama's got enough clout to do that. Nick Saban's got that kind of clout. A&M doesn't have that. All right, this is breaking news. And it's a little surprising to me, too. We don't have all the details, but I'll give you as much as we have. So this comes from Adam Schefter. It just broke. And according to Adam Schefter, the Packers are now offering concessions, and they have convinced Aaron Rodgers, whatever these concessions are, they've convinced Aaron Rodgers to return to Green Bay for at least one more season. At least one more. So over the past weekend, Adam Schefter reports the two sides were able to reach some mutually agreed upon terms, and now they're close to convincing Rodgers to abandon his plans to skip training camp. And it is not done completely just yet because I don't think Rodgers hasn't left California. The reports are he's still in Cali, but they are amicable and that this agreement is pretty close to being done. The agreement in principle would include an approximation of the following conditions that the two sides are now finalizing to alleviate and address some of Rodgers' issues before the opening of Tuesday's training camp. Number one, the 2023 year in Rodgers' contract, the last one in his current deal, would be voided. No tags allowed in the future.
Yep.
The Packers would also agree to review Rodgers' situation at the end of this season. I don't even know what that definition of review means.
Okay.
Rodgers' contract would be adjusted with no loss of income to give the Packers more cap room now, I'm assuming, so he can get weapons in free agency or they can trade for guys. Or Devontae Adams wants a new deal. Maybe that's part of it too. The mechanisms will be put into place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. The Packers' agreement to, quote, review the situation after the season implies that the team will trade Rodgers if he still feels the way he has about the Packers' culture and decision-making prior to this agreement. So if he still wants to be traded, that review stipulation implies that, okay, we'll trade you.
Man, sounds like the Packers are giving up everything just to keep Aaron Rodgers. And they're still the winners of this negotiation, despite that, right? Aaron Rodgers is getting everything he wants. The Packers are giving up a ton of stuff to him, but because they're getting to keep their franchise quarterback and a guy who gives them the best chance to win a Super Bowl, then this feels like a win for Green Bay. And there were times over the last couple of months where it felt like we'd never get here. It felt like Aaron Rodgers was so hell-bent on getting out of Green Bay that There was no way this was going to happen. So, man, if you're a Packers fan, you've got to be pumped. If you're a Milwaukee sports fan,
yeah,
what a week you've had, right? The Bucks winning the title, the Brewers are playing good baseball, yeah. And now Aaron Rodgers tells you he wants to come back. Life is good up there in Wisconsin.
You
right got
to feel pretty good, yeah. And it's the time to be in Wisconsin too. It's beautiful this time of the year. Get out to a little Lake Long.
Who?
Lake Long.
Is that one of the great Lake ones?
No, it's not one of the great ones. Okay. But it's first place I ever skied, so I always have love for that place. David Dunn, Rodgers' agent, was in Wisconsin this last week and had extensive meetings with the high-ups, and I think it started to move this direction. But this is what leverage is all about. He's got leverage, and he used it, and there was no reason for him to agree to anything. But we're getting to that point now, guys, where S or get off the pot. And there were other Packers over the last month that said, no, he's going to come. He's going to be here. He's coming. So my guess is he was probably telling them, look, I'm going to get everything I can out of this. Yep. I don't want to be at these OTAs. Got my girlfriend who's the actress. We're in Hawaii. Check out Instagram. I am going to be there this year.
This year. And this I year. Think he'll be traded next year, which is what a lot of the analysts predicted anyway. Yep. In terms of the salary cap, it's a much more friendly salary cap situation for the Packers. For them to trade him next year. And let's be honest, this team was, you know, in the NFC title game 2 years in a row. They're close, and I think if they just get a couple of more weapons, maybe they can, you know, get this team over the top and get them to a Super Bowl. I also think this is going to be, you know, a game changer in terms of quarterback power within the organization, right? The player empowerment movement that's been happening for a while where not quarterbacks, not all the NFL players, but certainly quarterbacks and maybe a few players who are really elite at their positions. But quarterbacks are definitely trying to make a power move where they have NBA superstar-like say and NBA superstar-like power within the structure. Aaron Rodgers now, that was a hell of a power play by him. Mm. Tom Brady did it to a certain extent when he went to Tampa Bay. Remember, they didn't want Antonio Brown. He kept insisting upon it. You know, and the way that now they tell the stories that Tom Brady came in there and started changing a lot of things about the organization, about their practice habits, about the schedule, all types of little things. Patrick Mahomes famously had, you know, say in the first round draft pick of the Kansas City Chiefs last year. I think you could end up getting this now being a regular thing with superstar quarterbacks. We know Russell Wilson wanted to make a move, but he ended up, you know, kind of calming down in the offseason. But if they're unhappy, you're going to hear about it from your starting quarterback these days.
I feel like Russell Wilson has gotten a couple of coordinators changed over the last few years, too.
Yes.
Right? His situation hasn't quite as been as public or as demanding as some of the other quarterback situations in the last few years. But, it's starting to feel more like basketball. And I know you guys have made that comp a couple of times on this show, right? It just feels like superstars in the NFL are starting to realize that they have a lot of sway in this thing. Yep. And owners hate it, of course, but you got to keep your superstars happy, and you got to keep them around first and foremost.
Exactly right.
And that's where we're trending right now.
Speaking of trying to keep superstars around, the Texans are trying to keep Deshaun Watson around, and I think they may be a little surprised. We're all a little surprised. He did show up at training camp. If he didn't show up, the penalty was $50,000. Daily fine. So he's avoiding the $50,000 daily fine. The reports in Houston are that he still wants to be traded, still does not want to be a part of the Houston Texans organization. But he did report to training camp. I think the positive news for the Deshaun Watson camp is he has not been placed on the commissioner's exempt list yet, which means in their current investigation, maybe they haven't found anything damning enough yet in their minds to put him on the commissioner's exempt list. I think he's going to ultimately end up there, but I'm surprised he's not on there already. And several of the the women who are making these allegations, who are suing Deshaun Watson in civil suits, they've already spoken with Lisa Friel, who is the investigator, the NFL investigator for these situations. So I don't really know what's going to happen right now. There is a report now that Rusty Harden says that 10 criminal complaints are now pending against Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
That's the latest. And including two women who haven't sued him. And this is an effort to get the Texans to be more reasonable in their trade expectations. So
these are criminal now.
Yes, that's the newest complaint. Okay. And at first it was just one of the 22 lawsuits had a criminal component where they had the HPD actually opened an investigation. It was into one of the complaints. Now, Watson's lawyer has shared with ESPN, and this is via John Barr of ESPN.com, that Rusty Hart said that 10 women in all have filed criminal complaints against Watson now.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. If I am Zeke Elliott or Ben Roethlisberger today, I'm a little bit upset because both of those guys received suspensions without pay from the league for one accusation, and they weren't ever charged with anything. So, and they basically weren't given a lot of opportunity to plead their case.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. Like, look, I'm a believer in innocent until proven guilty, so I'm not saying, hey, drop the hammer on Deshaun Watson right now, but Zeke Elliott and Big Ben Roethlisberger were not charged in the court of law, and they were given six games. So I wonder what the difference is in the eyes of the NFL, why they're not at least putting Deshaun Watson on the commissioner's exempt list while they review this thing or while they wait for the legal situation to play out.
Yeah.
Like I thought that was inevitable. I thought that for sure was going to happen. And then after that happened, the league could have decided if they were going to levy an additional suspension on Deshaun. But it's weird. Like, the onus at first was on the league. They didn't do anything. Then the onus was on Deshaun. Well, he actually showed up to camp, and now it's back to the Texans. Like, what are you going to do with this guy?
Yeah.
Because every decision the Texans have made this offseason has been geared towards a future without Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Right? They drafted a quarterback. They brought in a couple of quarterbacks. Like, they seem set on life after Deshaun, and now all of a sudden he's there. So it's weird how they're going to handle it, and it's weird how the NFL is handling it right now because it just feels different than what we've seen from them in the past.
I agree. And they've also set it up, not only getting quarterbacks, but they've set this roster up like they do want to finish last. And part of looking to the future is we're not going to have Deshaun Watson. We're not building around one of the top five young quarterbacks anymore. We're kind of restarting this whole thing. But, yeah, you bring up a good point. Does that tell us maybe that they haven't found enough as they are investigating right now?
Maybe it's just because it's a lot of complaints, a lot of allegations.
Yeah.
I mean, with Zeke and
separate
with Big
too.
Ben, it was just, you know, one or two different allegations, which is enough. Obviously, that's troubling enough. But you have 22, and now you could have additional ones, right? That would make it 24. If two of those 10 women who have now made a criminal complaint hadn't complained previously, now that's 24 women total. So I think if you're doing your due diligence, and Lisa Frill, I'm sure, is, maybe she's got a lot more, you know, work to do, a lot more investigating, a lot more women she's got to speak to before they form their own opinion of it.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to happen is that the criminal investigation, there nothing becomes of the criminal investigation. They decide not to pursue charges. And then maybe through the civil, and this, by the way, the civil lawsuits, the depositions don't start up till 2022, right? So I think January of 2022 is when they can start.
After the Super Bowl.
February of 2022. And then if those, some of those complaints actually ended up being, you know, less than totally 100%, you know, truthful, and then this all kind of, the whole thing not goes away, but it never ends up becoming truly criminal, then the NFL could open themselves up to being, not, I guess, lawsuits too.
For sure. Oh, it's a delicate situation.
Yeah.
I kind of figured the commissioner's exempt list was a way they could buy time.
It is.
On this thing, like, to not look as bad either way. Like, we just say, oh, we're letting the legal process play out, so we're just, this is what we're doing. And if everything's good with Deshaun, he's found innocent, then no suspension. And if he's found guilty of something, then maybe you levy a suspension. But I don't know. It's a tough situation because, yeah, they don't want to look bad either way in this deal. But it's bizarre. I was not expecting this Aaron Rodgers news. I was not expecting this Deshaun Watson news. But both guys are apparently reporting to camp.
Yep, and Tom Pelissero says the Texans are willing to listen to trade offers, but I don't know if the latest news changes that.
Yeah.
Trade offer, then.
That's a good point. All right, we'll take your thoughts. 337-3776. We'll get back into that news, those pieces of news, I should say, a couple of different things regarding two of the higher-profile quarterbacks in the National Football League. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. We are live at Leander Beer Market. We'll be here beyond 7 o'clock. Come out and see us. Happy hour going on right now at Leander Beer Market on West Willis Street in Leander. When we return, our countdown to kickoff continues. A nice round number. We are 40 days away from Texas Longhorn football. Who are the best Longhorns to ever wear the jersey number 40? We take a look. And also, since we weren't here yesterday, we look at 41 as well. Up next.
Get on out to Leander Beer Market. We're going to be out here all the way till 9 o'clock. We'll be doing the show until 7. It's 106 West Willis Street, little college football preview, our top 20, the Horn top 20 at 7 o'clock. So should be a day full of football. You got happy hour here all the way up until 6 o'clock. And we were looking at the menu during the break. Had some people that were here last Friday. They said it's great. There's a lot of stuff I want to order off this.
Oh, yeah. Same.
Ravioli?
Ravioli.
Yeah, I don't know how many sports bars have stromboli or ravioli on the menu. But
apparently the pizza's good, too.
That makes the cut here. Yeah, I'm going to ask for one of everything.
Okay.
That seems...
It's a pretty hefty menu, so it's going to be a lot of stuff.
Seems pretty reasonable or feasible. We can make that happen. But no, yeah, the food looks great, and they've got a bunch of different beers, including Altstadt beer, which... That's why we're out here today. So you've got Altstadt beer specials going on throughout the afternoon. But this is a cool spot, and there's free parking.
Yeah.
On the street. That's a thing that still exists in Central Texas, believe it or not.
I love how fired up the three of us are about that. Oh. This is a really cool spot. We're excited about the beer. It'll be a fun time out here. Food looks good. Apparently it's really good. But the accessible free parking. Yes.
It's awesome.
Please.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I have to pay extra to park at my apartment. Like, right. I can't even park where I live for $0. So anywhere I could go where I could park for $0, that's
right
a
win. Up front.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's perfect. Thing.
Doing the Horn Top 20 later on. We are 40 days away from the Texas opener as Louisiana comes into town. We did not hit 41 yesterday or 40 today. So, guys, let's start with 41. Who jumps out?
Former defensive coordinator. Vance Bedford.
Vance Bedford intercepted Jim Kelly at
DBU.
DBU guy from 77 to 81. He definitely stands out.
Not the best DBU guy to wear 41, though.
No, nasty Nate wore it for a while, too.
Yeah, before he went to three.
Three.
How many years was he rocking 41? Was that just a freshman year bit?
I think at least
I think
two.
It might have. I'm not sure, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Because I don't remember 41 Nathan Vasher.
No, he went to three. By the time he was like a junior, he definitely was three by then.
Yeah, okay. Definitely by then.
Yeah, that's the one I remember. Tristan Houston, running back who was here for a couple of years in the last decade. He was a 41. Rick Neighbors was on the National Championship 69 team.
Nice.
Shout out.
He deserves some love for that. Austin Sinline.
Yeah. Lyle's brother.
Lyle's brother.
Man.
Don the number 41.
I didn't realize that.
According to source.
And their dad, Robin. I'm not sure what number he would have wore here, but.
I don't think we've come across his name yet.
We've not hit Robin Sinline.
Something from 1 to 39, apparently. But yeah, and then Jalen Ford is your current number 41. Any expectations for Jalen Ford? You know, he's a linebacker. We're trying to figure out who's going to start at linebacker besides DeMarvion Overshown. Do we think Jalen Ford maybe is a chance to get some significant PT in year two for him?
He's got a shot. I mean, that one spot opposite DeMarvion Overshown is open, that off-ball linebacker position. We have no idea right now who's going to take that spot.
Yeah, they brought in five transfer linebackers this offseason, which, like, maybe this doesn't necessarily mean this, but freaks me out a little bit about the guys who are already on campus. Like, it tells me that Sark and PK got here, and they're like, yeah, you know, Jalen Ford and Delia Dayaway, those guys just... They're not doing it for us.
Not going to cut it.
So we got to go find some other guys. Now, it's depth, too. I mean, they need depth. They needed bodies there regardless.
Yeah.
But when I see that many guys at one position, I start to worry about the guys who are already here on campus.
We don't know how many of those guys are going to play that hybrid jack outside linebacker DN role either.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know exactly how
those
guys will be.
May be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, with Overshown, I mean, he stayed healthy last year, but let's not forget his first couple of years on the 40 were marred by injury problems. So having some depth, making sure you've got bodies there is important. But, yeah, Jalen Ford, I'm curious to see what type of role he has for this club this year.
I mean, Case at Robinson line, number 60.
Oh, we missed him?
How did we miss? Well, because we were talking about Tommy Novus.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Robin.
Yeah, our bad.
And Lyle and Austin.
We gave you a shout-out, though.
Sorry about that, guys. That's on me.
What about 40?
C-Red. I played with C-Red. Good 40.
Yeah,
great 40.
Really
great
40. Good one.
Might be the greatest 40 of all. I don't know.
I think it probably was Robert Reed, who was a linebacker.
Oh, Randy Peschel.
Peschel,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Robert Killebrew.
Yeah.
On the national title team.
Yeah.
Linebacker there.
I remember Brew.
He played with an attitude.
Yeah.
A good one or a bad one?
A good one.
Nice guy.
I know. I didn't mean that all. I just meant on the field. Yeah, on the field. But
he was a nice
guy. Could be good for a couple 15-yard penalties.
There you go.
But you kind of appreciated it.
They were good on sports. Yeah.
Tone setter.
Yeah, he was a tone setter.
Setting the tone.
I like that. Yeah, Corey Redding feels like the safe pick for the best 40 in school history. Was a two-time All-Big 12 defensive end. But how about this, guys?
Josh Spurrell.
Okay.
That's another one. Random.
Josh Spurrell.
Yeah. Nice. Throw it out there.
Not the guy I was going to mention amongst the greatest 40s ever, but maybe he is. Alan Lowry. Does that name do anything for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I need you to fact-check this for
DBU?
He played in the early 70s, was an All-Southwest Conference DB in 71.
He's a DB.
And then he was an All-Southwest Conference quarterback in 72.
Quarterback?
If you're an All-Conference player at multiple positions on multiple sides of the football, that might garner you the title of being the best at your number in school history.
You can see that.
Like, that's impressive. Literally one year to the next, you're All-Conference on defense, and then you're All-Conference on offense. Like, if that's true, that's a story that needs to be told more, because I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever heard of that guy.
I've heard of that guy.
I don't think I'd ever heard of Alan Lowry.
I have.
Sorry about that, Alan.
Yeah. Nobody talks about his Iron Man days, though.
Yeah. It's pretty badass. Also, Nashawn Hughes, a recent number 40, one of those hybrid linebacker DN types. And then speaking of Delia Dewa, we brought his name up earlier. He dons the number 40 for Texas right now. Entered the portal this offseason, withdrew from the portal. Texas has been pretty good at that in recent years. Another one of those guys who could maybe make an impact at linebacker.
Add to Lowry was also a punter and played on the baseball team.
Good Lord.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's a big-time athlete.
At Texas.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Cotton Bowl MVP in 73?
Yep.
At what position?
Well, that's a good question.
Punter?
I think quarterback.
Third baseman?
Right.
Pitcher? QB? Wow, that's awesome.
He was coach for a long time, too.
We need to bring that back. We need to bring the multi-sport athlete back.
With your Dallas Cowboys, 82-90.
There you go. How about that?
Yeah. Maybe get it. They got some more props.
What position?
Oh, come on.
That's a fair question.
It is, right?
It's a fair question.
A DB.
Did he also play with the Rangers, too?
He
was up in the Metroplex? Okay, well, you don't have to talk about his personality like that, dude.
No.
Could be a really nice guy.
In the league.
Just because Corey Redding's got attitude doesn't mean everyone's a DB out here.
He coached special teams for a long time, also coached receivers for a little while.
Okay.
So he's one of those guys. He can coach a lot of stuff because he played a lot of stuff.
Unbelievable. Shout out to Alan Lowry, man.
Yeah.
He's got my vote for the greatest 40 of all time.
He's getting mine, too.
There you go.
Corey Redding was really damn good, though.
Yeah, he was.
And just getting him was such a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. He was. Number one player in the country. Defense, I mean.
That helps.
And they got the offensive guy, too.
They got the offensive guy in Chris Sims.
That also helped.
Yep.
It was a good class for Mack Brown. All right, 40 days away from Texas Longhorn football. Of course, we are your home for Texas Longhorn football all year long. It's the triple option with RBKD. When we return, we'll get back into the big Texas football news of the week. The first reports dropped on Wednesday. Now it became official earlier today. Texas and Oklahoma have informed the Big 12 that they plan on leaving. We'll talk about what it means and what's next for the process of moving to the SEC. Don't go anywhere. That's next.